This is Hiroshi Scheib with another episode of Satoshi's Treasure Hunters, and I'm here with just a little quick update. There has been a change to the website. There is no new clue, but there have been some... It's interesting to see, because we'll get into it, but today's episode is about changes, if you will. There's been some issues with the games. We've talked about them. Lack of communication, not consistent communication, and conflicting statements or inferences that people have made from the game makers' statements that they released through the media about, you know, what the game's about the public address for the Bitcoin amount, and how long this game is going to take. So, for example, right now, the website has changed. It went from using completed or found for their indications about a key to something completely different. There wasn't a blog post explaining or why they did it. There hasn't been a tweet, and we'll get into that. There is no clue drop right now. We started in April, so it's April, May, June, July's ended. We're going into August. It's been, you know, April, March, you know, almost 4 or 5 months of this game here, and we're only progressing to right now at 49 keys, and this is supposed to take a year. So there's that. And then there's a lack of oomph, if you will, on the part of the game makers. And some of it, this is their own make. So if you look here on the site, Satoshi's Treasure site, the official site, you have key, the release date, found, and clues. The key, you know, is typical, is the naming of the particular key, the release date of the key. And this section right here, found, has changed to, you know, found and not found, basically unfound, and is now expired and available, which is good. It's something, you know, I've talked about when it comes to certain clues, how maybe like the contest keys and the geolocation keys would be expired possibly, and that the cryptographic keys would still be available for people to solve. So anyone could essentially jump into this game at any point and be able to gather all the crypto and code breaking, you know, the crypto and logic keys, the very internet based keys, rather quickly, and then either join a clan or barter or buy different keys to get the other keys to complete whatever set they need to try to attain the 400 keys to unlock the Bitcoin address. And I think this is fine. I personally think it would have been better if they had two columns where they could have had expired or available, which is something I are already been doing with the publicly released keys. Whenever a new key drops, I add it to the Google Doc, and that indicate whether or not it's been publicly released or if it's been found or not. And I think they could have still kept the found and unfound, and they could have just added the column about availability, expired or not expired. And if you look, like I said, the Jade, the Bismuth, the Merle key, and the Pawn key, and the Hunter key are expired. They were from the very beginning. The Pawn key, I can understand. The Hunter key, again, because it went back to the vaults, it was like kind of a task slash geolocation key. Obviously, they must have done something when they updated the website where you couldn't brute force and find the Jade, Bismuth, and Moron key that way, but that information is publicly available from John Cartel's blog post, which is still up, and people can still obtain those public keys, just not from the game maker's game itself. The Earth key is still available. It was marked unknown. Hasn't been found. The Umbun key and the ASAP key are still available. So these are You know, the ASAP key is a code breaker key. If you look at it, here is the code breaking key that you have to use the album cover code breaking code to unlock this code. The Ebon key again is the soda can Twitter key, where you had to use a bit of logic, a little internet sleuthing to find the Twitter handles that had the 50 pieces to order to piece together the soda can key. And then from there, you'd be able to figure out the clues to find the website and then the passphrase. And then Breakbeats is, again, a little internet sleuthing and a little cryptography, where you had to find little internet. And then from him, you got the MP3 file. From the MP3 file, you're able to find a phrase as well as a QR code. And then from there, you were able to download an image, which is a rabbit obscured by a chaotic field, and people are still haven't been able to solve that one. And then the room key, the cult key, and the clan key. So the clan key was a contest key. The room key was a geolocation key that's had some issues. I again put some questions out to the game makers and haven't gotten a response about it yet. The cult key was, in fact, a contest key. They still haven't changed whether or not they're going to bring it back. Due to the overwhelming popularity of the Hunter's Erotic Vitae, we're tweaking this clue back soon. All the SD points you get will be reserved. As the hunt grows, those ST points will continue your value within the game, redeemable for access to unique privileges, interesting events, and desired objects. So there's potential with those STC points, but they put it as expired, so I don't think they're coming back to it. I guess they're not making a judgment. And again, this is where communication would be key here. The global key. That is the pictures, or there was a few issues about the naming of certain cities where you had to. Okay, so they did make some changes. So I'll read the grand tour. So while laying clues, Agents of the Hunt did a lot of traveling. Become familiar with the look of various locales will be a valuable skill for any hunters. The first letter, non-capitalized, of the name of each city in these pictures left by agents is the password you need for the global key. To avoid confusions, pictures 19 and 25 have been updated for legibility with no effect or change of the password. So this is the one where there were some issues about the certain cities and their naming, and people were able to brute force past the missing cities, if you will, the letter combination that they needed to figure it out. So city 19... I guess they changed. This is a completely different picture, because I would remember this picture. And then 25. I bet 25 is that roadway one. So a change here. I'm going to have to look into this and see which cities it was that people had issues with, and see if that adjustment there was made. So you have that one. That's still available. That's, again, an internet sleuthing and figuring out, using a bit of, you know, logic, if you will. The Narav key was the geolocation key. The Zero Knowledge key was a contest key. The Philanthropy key was also a contest key. Let's go to the sites. August 1st, today is August 4th. There hasn't been any changes. Their last official tweet by the Satoshi Treasure Twitter account was, We've been made aware of some issues with the donation system and figuring out the best way to address key distribution. Stand by, please. And then they announced the winner for the final round of the Philanthropy Key, which went to the Toshi Cipher Group. And then you have the Dissonance Key, which apparently is expired. This was a logic key. So I am assuming, and I'll look into it, that the audio for the meetup must be done. The Zoom app. The Freedom Key was a geolocation key. The World Key was a geolocation and mini hunt. The Live Key was, of course, it was the streaming service key. That's still available. The Neuromic Key is a code breaking key. That's still available. The Street Key was a contest key. The World Key, that's interesting, is still available. So I guess the QR codes are still out there for those geolocations. The Parakeet is the end to August 15th. I'm actually participating in that one. The STC key is expired, which is interesting considering that's kind of a logic one. Let's see if it's still on the coin market cap. That might be it, because to get listed on the coin market cap, you have to pay those website developers. And it's gone. Let's try the full name. Ah, here we go. Satoshi's Coin. Nope, it's still up. It's still up. So it's interesting that they have that expired. Let's go to... And if I type in the passphrase, 2300, so I don't know why that is considered expired, but maybe because, again, you have to pay to be on here. Maybe at some point this is going to go away. So that's a little weird. So yeah, there's that. The checkered board key hasn't been solved according to public channels and other channels. The crypto key has been found, and that's still available. So that's a little weird. So the lack of communication here is really important. It would have been nice to have either a Twitter thread, something in the public Telegram channel, maybe on the Reddit, a blog post stating, this is what we're changing, this is why we're changing it. We're not indicating if keys have been found or not found. We're changing that dynamic for the game. And maybe the reasons why. They think, you know, we heard your critiques, people are like this, they don't want people to know when keys are found or not found. Or we decided this is the best way for the hunt. The other thing is, again, is these keys are not coming out quick enough. You know, the month of July, there was, you know, quite a few. And was satisfying in the sense that they were very divergent, the different clues, the different types of puzzles people had to solve. And there were multiples. Like, D-Live was 6. The ST key, the street key, there were multiple keys associated with the clue and the name of the key. But then we kind of went on this another slowdown. Plus, they hinted through their official channels that there was something going to go happen in Japan. And it's been 3 or 4 weeks since that initial tweet. And we haven't heard anything about what's happening in Japan. And then there's these kind of rumors that some of these sponsored keys that they have, like the D-Live key was obviously a sponsored key, the Binance key, the Taipei Mini Hunt was a sponsored key type key, the Distances key had Binance in it, the Philanthropy key was kind of a sponsored key there. That some of the sponsors are not happy with the traffic maybe they're getting, and the game makers, you know, they are getting paid to put people in eyeballs or butts and seats, if you will, for these different marketing keys, and they're waiting for the game to get bigger. But we talked about this before. The game's not going to get bigger until that public address is going to get released. And here's the reason why. You are focusing your game on Bitcoin. Okay, that is the prize amount. That community is pretty paranoid. They're fairly highly intelligent, driven individuals. If they've been in this space long enough, they have been scammed, spammed, fooled, trickery, all the chaos. If you have not been scammed in this space, then you have not really lived in this space. It happens to everybody. So there's a lot of hesitancies for people to get into things. It's a trust or verify. They wait, like on the perch, and wait for things to kind of go along a little bit, do their research. Maybe if somebody they know has done it and had put like maybe a little bit of funds in something, or tried out a wallet, or was willing to sacrifice a few Satoshis to see what's going to happen, and then report back to everybody, or you either write a blog post, explain what they're doing, and then people try to either replicate what was done or something like that to that effect. It takes a while for some things, like certain updates and availabilities and what wallets people should use or exchanges or things of that nature. It takes time for something to build a certain level of credibility. And even when you build a little credibility, people still don't freaking trust you. You know, reputations get burned all the time from one tiny little mistake, whether intentional or unintentional, because there have been so many bad actions that have happened within this community that if something is legitimately something that was just an error, people don't trust it. They're like, well, why did you make this error? You know, blah, 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 blah. They think it's intentional and you're trying to take people's funds or scam people. So for there to be considering in this space that Bitcoin puzzle games have been here from very much the very beginning. I think the first one was around 2011. And there has been no public release of the address. You're not going to get many people from that community in this space. You've gotten a few people so far because they've been engaged with the puzzles. They're having fun and building a community and doing this with this clan. And they're hedging their bets about the potential of the prize money, of just kind of sticking around. And maybe they're kind of laissez-faire in it, trying to gather the keys in the space of a time. And because they've been spaced out, they can take their time in solving a lot of these. There's not a really like a big rush because the keys are not coming out that quickly. But you're not going to get the growth. Yes, there's new hunters that come in all the time. They see an article, a blog post. There was a big media push in the beginning of July, so there was a few more hunters. With the D-Live thing, you might have got some more people inquiring and looking in there and considering there's replay and YouTube and stuff like that for those streamers. You might get some more people from that. But until it is real, until people can go on the blockchain, type in that Bitcoin address, see that address, see that it exists, when it was created, maybe some proof of verification that somebody owns that address, whether it's, a signature or moving Satoshi in, Satoshi out. I'm not sure how this can I work with the fact that everything, I'm assuming they have the private key, even though they split it up, you know, safe somewhere. So that way, snafus or whatever, they have the private key. But something to verify that they control those funds. And until that happens, there's a lot of people just waiting. And they'll keep waiting. They'll wait till 100 keys go out or 100 clues or whatever come out. until that public address has been made, people are just going to go, yeah, there's something going on, but they haven't shown their address. And you can waste your time if you want to, but I'm not until I see something, something verifiable. And so they're not going to get the growth they want, because as soon as somebody can point to that address, you're going to have everybody, every Bitcoin podcast, every from legitimate to unlegitimate, to every YouTube channel, every blog post, you're going to have some major media things. It's going to get out there wide, very wide. It's going to go out of the niche news outlets into the bigger outlets and saying, blah, 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 update on 430. Let's go to Susan over here in, I don't know, New York. Yes, well, you all have heard about Bitcoin. Well, these set of people have established a game, a treasure hunt game, where you have to do all these, and they run through the game, and the prize is the value of 1 million USD in Bitcoin. And they talk to the game makers, or they interview somebody, or they talk to random people. It's like, would you play a game where there's a prize in Bitcoin and it's worth 1 million USD? And then they show the public address and say that at the time that the game started, it was $1 million, but now it's $3.5 million. And it could easily increase as the game progresses further, until at the end of the game, it could be still $3 million, or back down to $1 million, or it could be $5 or $10 million. A prize, a money prize that goes exponentially without actually adding any, you know, value or money to it. It will dramatically bring a lot more people into this space. And more competition and more engagement. People will be tweeting about it, you know, creating their own YouTube channels, podcasting, blogging, bringing their friends. There'll be a lot more private clans, a lot more public clans. There'll be a diversified of voices. There'll be a significant more level of engagement. But until then, that's not going to happen. It's just not. You're not going to build that. You're doing what's already a niche thing and made it even more nicher. And if you really want that big, you know, general audience, then you are going to have to play general audience rules. Every big prize from every game show, lottery, there is some kind of proof of funds or some validation that has occurred, or laws or regulations in place that have established that prize exists. And there's been lawsuits and court things when that has snafus have happened and things don't go a certain way. There's been so much public information on it that people trust that when they put $2 down and they win the Powerball, that they're getting the Powerball money. That's just that's how it is. And there is no amount of trust or build up, even individually, on the part of the game makers to make them anyone believe that there is this amount of funds or have enough trust to engage in this game at any kind of consistent level. The other thing is, again, communication. From the very beginning, they should have had a social media rep. That sole purpose is to communicate with the hunters and convey information. If Twitter is going to be their account, stick with the Twitter account. Convey the information, answer questions, engage with the hunter and audience, and build a rapport. That's how you engage with people, by building rapport, talking about the game, asking questions to the hunters, answering questions to the hunters. You look at any social media site of any kind of company, is small, basic, 50 people doing it, there's that kind of level, basic level engagement. I mean, freaking 11-year-olds are doing this, and they have all sorts of Instagrams and YouTube stuff, and some of them started doing that on, and eventually they got a team. If this is a business, you should have already had that team in place from the very beginning. Pure and simple. Contract, 1-year engagement, this is what you need to do, this is the type of information you convey, this is what we want, this is the level of engagement, all these different type of goals you can do. And if you had a strong, reputable social media person, they'll be able to achieve those goals. The Telegram channel is great. Maybe they could have put a couple some moderators in there, admins, to be able to answer the basic questions. It could be the FAQ section of the hunt, so people can go like, the QR code is not at the designated location. Here's the picture. I've seen talk to other people and other hunters and find it, but the QR code is not there. Did someone take it? What's going on? That kind of a stuff. There would have been, we'll send an agent out there to that location. Let's see, verify, and look and see the location that we know to be where our QR code is. And check out. Oh, no. The QR code is not there. We will correct that. Or we'll release a QR code. Or, nope, I'm sorry, you're kind of close, but the QR code is there. You're just going to have to do a little bit harder. Something. Some kind of engagement, if you will. Especially for something that's supposed to be global and people are traveling great lengths and distances to these geolocations. It's kind of have to be on the ball about engagement and making sure that things are up to snuff. The tiny errors to some of these clues is a bit annoying for something that's supposed to be very professional and well done. I know as far as legality and stuff like that, that could bring lawsuits. Seriously. I remember about like a lot of stuff about the balls and the manufacturing of the ball and all that stuff that gets tampered with. It could cause all sorts of criminalities and issues and problems and things of that nature. So for the game makers to have some issues with their clues, it's not a good thing. It really isn't. And almost consistently having some kind of little bit of an issue. So that's pretty much it. It's just a changing of availability or expired. I think it's important knowledge for the hunters out there to be aware if they can still find these different clues or keys. I still think solved or unsolved or found or unknown should be another column on there. And really communication. We're kind of, approaching 4 months in. Communication. Basic. This is basic stuff before even the internet existed. Basic stuff about consistent communications. And I've seen a lot of excuses about this, that this is not their only thing they're doing, that the game makers have other business. No, this is your business. Yes, you have other businesses, then you need to hire a business manager that runs your business for you. It's simple. There's plenty of people that have multiple businesses out there in existence and have either successfully or unsuccessfully managed their businesses. Either one goes to the ground or they all go to the ground or something like that. There's plenty of templates out there about how to do this. So, this is Roja Shine with a little quick update, not so quick update. There will be another video if there is a clue drop or some kind of major solve or some other kind of game maker update. I will get on the tube and convey that information to you and my thoughts. You've been watching or listening to Associated Treasure Hunters, and on with the hunt.